From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, January 22nd. I'm Abby Larico. Tattoos are a form of self-expression, but some artists say for many breast cancer survivors, they can be a form of recovery too.
They're gonna see it every day. They don't see what work they did on the inside with removing all the tissue, but those nipples, that areola, like, that's first and foremost.
Tattoos as medical care. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. The St. Louis Board of Education has appointed Robert Harvey as its newest member. SDLPR's Hiba Ahmed has this update.
Robert Harvey will join SLPS leadership after the school board voted unanimously to appoint him to a vacant seat Wednesday night. In his interview, Harvey said he is a former SLPS student and has served in education leadership in both New York City and Memphis.
I just have a really deep respect for the way that public school systems, and namely SLPS, has been a critical community anchor.
Harvey joins the board as it navigates next steps after the district lost full accreditation earlier this month. State education officials met with SLPS leadership last week to talk about areas for improvement. The board will also tackle its next big task of hiring a permanent superintendent. Harvey will be sworn in next Tuesday during the school board's monthly work session. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri State Budget Director Dan Hogg apologized to the Senate Appropriations Committee about a $250 million mistake he made in the state budget formula. Hogg says he incorrectly double-counted the funding for disaster relief and the University of Missouri's research reactor in the fiscal year 2027 budget.
So it was a $261 million error. This was my mistake. I take full responsibility for it. I'm very embarrassed that I let this happen.
The previous calculation made it look like the state would have spent nearly all that it collected in the coming year instead of showing a $265 million surplus. Hogg also outlined the proposed supplementary budget for this fiscal year, which would provide additional funding for disaster relief in St. Louis, as well as funding for special education students. Hogg recommends approval of the funds by March 15th so they can be delivered across the state. Hundreds of Missourians gathered in the state Capitol building yesterday with a message to lawmakers to respect the will of the people. St. Louis Public Radio's Lily Halloran reports the organizers made access to abortion a key part of their protest.
Nearly 20 advocacy groups showed up to the protest, and many condemned Missouri's politicians for attempting to repeal the abortion rights voters approved in 2024. Ashley Jaworski is a volunteer with Abortion Action Missouri who spoke at the gathering. She says abortion access should remain enshrined in the state constitution.
And I've been privileged to hear hundreds of abortion stories from other Missourians that agree. No matter our personal and nuanced views on abortion, politicians have no business interfering in personal, private family decision making.
A ballot measure this November could replace those rights with a near-blanket ban on abortion. In Jefferson City, I'm Lily Halloran, St. Louis Public Radio.
In the ongoing trial over the legality of Missouri's restrictions on abortions, the two sides disagree on whether abortion providers face stricter regulations than other healthcare services. William Coble with the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services says the regulations for abortion providers aren't any different from the regulations for other healthcare facilities. But last week, witnesses for Planned Parenthood said they felt abortion providers are subject to more frequent and intense inspections. One witness recalled watching a staff member break down in tears following an inspection. Coble says all licensed healthcare facilities are subject to unannounced inspections when complaints or allegations are filed against them. Coble will take the stand again today as the trial continues, alongside more witnesses for the state. The trial has begun to determine whether former St. Louis Alderman Brandon Bosley defrauded an insurance company and lied to federal authorities. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports.
The trial centers on a March 2021 incident where Bosley purchased a 2010 Toyota Prius. Months later, when the parked car was hit by another vehicle, U.S. attorneys allege he told the auto shop owner to inflate the cost of the damages. U.S. attorneys played video of Bosley and the shop owner. They say he told him to mark the cost up. Bosley is also accused of lying to federal agents investigating the incident. Lawyers for Bosley say the former alderman never lied in the recordings. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis restaurant scene is getting national recognition. The James Beard Foundation named three area restaurants as semifinalists for its 2026 awards. Vicia in the Central West End is one of 20 nominees for the country's most outstanding restaurant. Louie in Clayton is a semifinalist for Best Hospitality, and Robin in Maplewood is one of 30 nominees for the country's Best New Restaurant. Four local chefs were named semifinalists for the Best Chef in the Midwest Award: Philip Day of Root Food and Wine in Augusta, Missouri, Nick Bogner of Sato and Pavilion on the Hill, Alex Henry of El Molino del Sureste in the city's Southampton neighborhood, and Laura Knowledge of Balkan Treat Box in Webster Groves, who was also named as a finalist in this category last year. The finalist for the James Beard Awards will be announced on March 31st. The National Weather Service says cold temperatures are heading into St. Louis this weekend, but as STLPR's Katie Grovich reports, the amount of snow it'll come with is still a bit uncertain.
The National Weather Service forecasts wind chill as low as 10 degrees below zero Saturday morning, with an 80% chance of at least an inch of snow that evening. Forecasters predict as much as 4 to 6 inches of snow throughout the weekend. Meteorologists say the cold weather conditions will make snow more likely to accumulate on roads. Marshall Fahler is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in St. Louis. He says storm systems like this one are unpredictable because meteorologists are tracking a lot of moving parts from far away.
Each day we'll be able to get a little bit more detail and provide that with a little bit more confidence. Each storm's a little bit different on how quickly that confidence increases.
Fahler says cold temperatures could create dangerous conditions this weekend regardless of snowfall. I'm Katie Grovich, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Cardinals legend Yadier Molina is returning to the team. Molina's official title will be special assistant to the club's president of baseball operations. He's expected to focus on improving the position he knows best, catcher. The Cardinals say Molina will work with players behind the plate and advise the staff on in-game strategy. Molina played 19 years in Major League Baseball, all of them with the Cardinals. He won 9 gold gloves and is considered one of the greatest defensive catchers in league history. Last year, the Cardinals won 78 games and lost 84, finishing 4th in the National League Central Division. One in 8 American women will develop breast cancer in their lifetime, often leading to long and arduous treatments that change the way her body feels and looks. Rebecca Smith has more about one option for women after treatment that's helping them regain confidence.
Melissa Kincaid says she probably embarrasses her young sons nearly every day.
I think one of the quotes was, "Mom's drawing nipples again."
She owns a Columbia tattoo parlor called 17 Hair and Permanent Cosmetics. She says she's been doing semi-permanent eyebrow and lip tattoos for many years, but about 5 years ago, she added nipples to her repertoire.
If a tattoo artist can go and put a realistic-looking face and eyeball on your arm, you should be able to tattoo a very realistic-looking nipple. And I knew there was a need for it. I mean, how many people do you know that have had breast cancer and been affected by that?
Dr. Ashley Wilbers is a University of Missouri breast surgical oncologist and says the field has tried to move toward less invasive surgeries that preserve the original breast tissue. But sometimes that isn't possible, leaving women looking for interventions that help them reconnect with themselves and their bodies.
Women are losing a part of themselves, and person to person it varies how significant and important that is to their identity. But reconstruction is a place that can step in then and say, okay, can we at least attempt to help restore that sense of what was lost?
She says breast reconstruction has become more of a focus in the past few years and is generally covered by insurance. But the challenge with nipple and areola tattoos is who should be doing the tattoo in the first place: medical professionals or artists who have specialized. Stacy Becker is a longtime medical tattoo artist in Florida. She says it's important for the two worlds to come together. Someone needs to be a good artist, but also needs to know the intricacies of tattooing damaged skin.
Treatments cause different things to happen to skin. Radiated skin is very different from healthy skin. Certain medications can cause skin to react in different ways.
Becker actually works across the hall from plastic and reconstructive surgery in her building and was encouraged to get into the field by a surgeon. But she warns the quality and cost of tattoos can vary wildly based on who does them. A tattoo done by a physician might not be as artistically proficient and could cost thousands of dollars, whereas one of Becker's hundreds of hyper-realistic nipple and areola tattoos cost $600. She adds there is a movement by tattoo artists, advocates, and researchers to professionalize the tattoo specialty so it can gain more recognition as an important part of the reconstruction process. Nicole Rizzuto is a former certified surgical technologist and a licensed tattoo artist in New York. She's also the president of the Alliance for Medical Tattooing. The organization wants to standardize training, ensure quality and safety of the work, and get insurance to cover the procedure when done by tattoo artists.
Even though the tattoo is a very small part of the entire procedure and process of breast reconstruction and mastectomy, they're going to see it every day. They don't see what work they did on the inside with removing all the tissue. But those nipples, that areola, like, that's first and foremost.
She says she doesn't want to take anything away from the medical team, but instead wants tattoo artists doing nipple and areola tattoos to be trusted and seen as a valuable part of someone's care team. And for the tattoos themselves to be seen as another viable option for those who have undergone the trauma of breast cancer treatments. I'm Rebecca Smith.
The story comes to us from member station KBIA in Columbia. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.